introduction. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined today by J.P. Kadoran.
That was a nice little intro there.
Well, it's short to cool. The point. I don't want to waste our minutes getting cool. through some big glossy intro. You know how that is. I, of course, am from Lake Country Publications and now Newspapers. J.P. is from?
Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, channel 1332 HD.
It's been a busy...
H-Dizzle.
It's been a busy week for you this
oh
week.
Oh my god, it's been a busy 2 or 3 weeks. It was Minneapolis, which was a mess for the All-Star game. It was fun, it was cool, but it was just a mess trying to get that show back and trying to get roundtable segments and everything. And then got back, and then the night, woke up at 5:30 a.m., made the 5-hour drive back, got back into work, had to put out some fires there. Fires is our theme, isn't it? Anyway, yes. Had to put out some fires at work, and then there was a soccer match at Miller Park, which was also amazing, unbelievably cool, but that was that same night, and then I don't even remember where else I've been, but it was Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Monday,
dang,
everything.
Well, you went to Oshkosh for the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association.
That was Saturday. We'll talk about that later. That definitely. Is also one of the coolest events that we do all year.
Yeah, definitely, and the soccer thing, I didn't even think about that. That was an interesting nuance, and were any of the fires at work actual kitchen fires, like the one at Miller Park?
No, luckily we've not had to put out any fires, but...
Any real fires.
No, but... The Reds and or Mets have to deal with the fire that the Brewers are on right
yes,
now.
Yes, I'm convinced that they're going to go on a 10-game winning streak as we record this. They're on
two alarm fire right
yes,
now.
Yes, and by the time this gets posted, the third game will be over. So hopefully they will still be on that massive winning streak.
Yep, after Kyle Loesch's no-hitter, they will be on a 3-alarm fire, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen.
Catching fire, the theme here. So this Hunger Games edition of the of the podcast.
Gross.
Oh, come
click
on.
Off.
They're amazing movies. Amazing. Hey, the summer baseball tournament is right around the corner, the state tournament. We are down to four teams. They're going to be playing at Capco Park in Mequon
awesome.
On Friday. Yeah, great facility. This is the third year that the summer baseball tournament has had this format playing at that venue. Brookfield Central won. Their pitchers were outstanding. They allowed one run in three games to get there. They defeated Sussex Hamilton in the sectional final to make it through. They're going to be playing Plymouth. Right before that, Oak Creek and Homestead both made it through. Oak Creek has been there before a couple of years ago at Capco and have 5 state championships to their name, so they are obviously not new at this. Homestead beat Menominee Falls to get through to the state state tournament, I should say. So lots to look forward to for summer baseball fans. I sat down with Jeff Bigler, coach of the Brookfield Central Lancers. They had a great record going into the last stretch of the season, lost 5 of their last 6. But bounce back to obviously make it through to state. So I chatted with him. Here's what he had to say. Joined now by Brookfield Central softball coach Jeff Bigler, whose Lancers will take on Plymouth in the state semifinal at Capco Park in Mequon on Friday. Oak Creek and Homestead will also meet in the semifinals. The two winners will then play later that night for the state championship in 2014. And Jeff, I look at your playoff run. You guys allowed only one run in 3 games on your way to the state tournament. Obviously, pitching is a big part of what you guys have had going on this season. Maybe just give me a sense of what the pitching has been for you guys this year.
Well, I think, starting, with all of them, they possess, good stuff, and that's, I think, where it starts in high school. You can't teach a fastball in the high 80s, and two of the three that we have, throw in that high 80 range, our other guy, Matt Osluis, who would technically be considered our number 3 pitcher, is around 83 to 85 miles an hour, but possesses tremendous location. He can throw 3 pitches for strikes. And, when high school pitchers cannot give up anything for free, can stay around the plate and make the other team swing the bat to beat you, it's a good, great combination for keeping the scores down and for giving yourself a chance to win.
With the state tournament format the way it is, where you only have to play 2 games in the state tournament, and with the capability of having your number 1 pitcher pitch a lot in the postseason, does that sort of negate the advantage of having a lot of pitching depth, maybe compared to the spring tournament or where summer baseball used to be?
Well, I don't know. I think the way the playoff schedule is set up now, being the fact that you got the first round of the playoffs was Tuesday, and we were fortunate enough to get the bye there. But if a team does have to play Tuesday, then they got to come back on Friday on a pitcher on 2 days rest if they don't have three of them, because then you got the following, you know, 2 days rest before the sectional. So I would say that you at least have to have two top-notch pitchers, but to have three top-notch pitchers would be the ultimate formula like we had, because you're still going to have to play that Friday regional championship game and then come back 2 days later and play two games to get to the state tournament. So unless you have a pitcher that, you know, has a rubber arm and can really come back on short rest and give you a quality start, you know, you really do need that that third top-notch pitcher to get you through.
You guys face Plymouth in the semifinal. Conventional wisdom has been, based on past results, that the one team of the four that comes from outside the Milwaukee area is at a little bit of a disadvantage. They're usually a smaller school. They haven't necessarily matched up with some of the teams from the southeastern part of the state. You saw Plymouth earlier this year and got them pretty good, beat them 13-1. As a coach, is it difficult for you to sort of go into this game having to guard against sort of overconfidence? I mean, how have you sort of approached this game?
Well, we've already talked about it and discussed it yesterday. You know, as a coaching staff, we have the utmost respect for Plymouth. For whatever reason, it was a first round semifinal tournament game that we hosted at our facility, and you know, the pitcher that we saw was as good as most of the pitchers that we've seen at the highest levels in the Greater Metro Conference. So we were very impressed with the kid that they threw. He was somewhere, you know, in the mid-80 range on his fastball, and he had some good off-speed pitches to go with it, some different arm angles that he used. So for whatever reason, we were at the top of our game offensively that day, and things kind of snowballed on them, and they threw the ball around a little bit. But I don't think that I would consider Plymouth a typical northern type of team, you know, which we know we're going to be in for a lot tougher game than that 13-1 turned out early in the year. We're expecting, you know, a low-scoring game, and we're going to have to play at our very best to get by that semifinal.
You guys had one of the best records in the area and then wound up losing five of your last six games going into the postseason. Did you get a sense that you guys would be able to bounce back the way that you did, and sort of what did you have to do to get back to this level of baseball?
You know, you just never know. You know, with the high school kids, you just don't know what you're going to get on a day-to-day basis. That's why, you know, the winning streaks are so rare, you know, and it was really rare that you had a handful of teams in the area run off as many wins in a row as a lot of teams did. I mean, you had Marquette reeling off 19 in a row. You had, you know, Greendale reeling off 15 or 17 in a row, whatever they did. Whitefish Bay went on a big-time roll, too. You know, day-to-day, you just don't get the consistency that you would like, you know, just because the kids are a little bit more up and down, and you're just not going to get, especially, you know, when you talk about baseball, and so many variables have to come together to get a consistent performance every time you take the field. So, you know, we were a little bit concerned after reeling off, I think we had 16 in a row, getting and having that loss, taking a bump at Marquette, and then having a few off days to think about it over the weekend, and then getting rained out the following Monday, and then facing a tough pitcher in Ty Weber that following Tuesday, which we took another loss, and then had another non-conference game canceled on us before we ended up losing the trifecta to Oak Creek, which caused us to finish in third place in the Greater Metro Conference, which was very disappointing to all of us. So, you know, I don't think we responded as well as we needed to the losing. You know, I don't think our guys had been used to it. Obviously, you're going 21-1. You don't know how to react, you know, to a loss, let alone a back-to-back loss. And we hadn't won a game in a stretch of 13 days there. So, you know, we just kind of had to clear it. You know, we had to regroup, you know, and it's almost like a process, you know, you have to go through. You got to kind of hit bottom. You got to realize that, hey, the sky isn't falling, and we're not as bad a team as, you know, what we've been playing, you know, like losing, you know, four or five or five or six, whatever we had there when we were going in that slump. So, you know, we got some non-conference wins under our belt to finish off the season, and then, you know, we started putting together the run. So, you know, hopefully now we're riding a big-time high, and we can continue that going into the state tournament.
Brookfield Central is one of the only high schools in the area thus far to have an all-artificial turf infield. And now, obviously, you're going to Capco Park, which has this artificial surface as well. Is that something you look at as an advantage heading into the state tournament?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question we can. You know, the teams now, and it's becoming more and more frequent that, you know, schools are going to the artificial surface for baseball. But, you know, we're not going to be, you know, affected in any way as far as what our infielders are used to playing on. I mean, playing on the carpet is a little bit different. You're going to get a little bit different bounces on it. Just, you know, short hops are going to stay down. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, just the reactions of playing on that kind of surface are a little different than the natural surface. So, you know, our kids are very confident on playing that on that surface. And I think, you know, that will give us a little bit of an advantage because, you know, the schools that don't get to play on it all year, they have to make a little bit of an adjustment, you know, to that kind of surface. So you know, obviously we're happy about the fact that we get to play on that surface. We're very confident, you know, in our home turf, and you know, I'm sure our confidence will, you know, spill over into the surface they got at Capco.
I don't want to shortchange the many great players you have on your team. Luke Sommerfeld, one of your pitchers, jumps to mind. But you've got a guy, Elijah Goodman, whom a lot of people will know from the basketball season. He was a big part of that very successful Brookfield Central boys basketball team this past winter. I don't know if people know how good a baseball player he is, both on the mound and at the plate. So just tell me a little bit about what he's brought to your team this year and also in his whole career.
Well, Elijah has just meant everything to our program. I mean, he's been so consistent on you know, both ends as far as hitting and pitching. I mean, every year the guy has put a consistent 450, 460 average up. You know, I mean, it hasn't wavered at all year to year. So from a sophomore to his junior to his senior season, he's been sitting around that 450, 460 mark, which is just incredible as a hitter, you know, in the middle of our lineup, driving in a ton of runs, you know, driving in between 25 and 35 runs every year. You know, he just poses a big threat for, you know, other teams to have to, you know, pitch around and make sure that they're always, you know, kind of game planning for him. You know, on the mound, he's just a bulldog. He goes right at hitters. He's always challenging them with a plus fastball. He's locating. He's spinning a pretty tight breaking ball. He's worked on his changeup this year. And, you know, he's very poised and confident player. You know, no matter what he does, he doesn't get too high or too low. You know, he doesn't, you know, let you know, errors behind him affect him on the mound. He doesn't let bad at bats, you know, affect him, you know, at the plate, and he just comes back the next time and he's going to give you a quality effort. So, you know, the kind of ability and you know, everything that he brings to the team is just puts us, you know, on another level as far as, you know, our team is concerned. I mean, you talk about a kid who's got the kind of power that he has. You just don't see that, you know, in high school. So, you know, we've got a couple kids like that. Obviously, with Luke Sommerfeld, who's had a tremendous year hitting the ball for a ton of pop and has got five or six home runs as well. So you just don't see that in high school. And we've got some kids that can hit, you know, the home run consistently and be a deep threat.
So, again, that's Jeff Bigler of Brookfield Central. He's got that pitching triumvirate. We kind of alluded
triumvirate.
To triumvirate. Triumvirate, that's right. Luke Sommerfeld, Elijah Goodman, and Matt Osluis, all of them getting wins in the postseason. Very, very talented pitching staff. They'll be heavily favored against Plymouth. We referred to that in the interview there. He had some good things to say about Plymouth, but coming from the non-Milwaukee part of this bracket, it always seems like the Milwaukee teams have the upper hand there. I don't know if that's going to be a trend that continues forever, but it sure seems like it has been in the past. So Central will be favored to get to the championship game.
Sweet, sweet event. I don't know how many people out there have been to Capco Park, but it is awesome. It's right on the lake up at Concordia University in Mequon. And it's, you know, the past years that I've been, at least, just a perfect summer night, you know, like 70 degrees. The sun is setting, Lake Michigan in the background. And usually full stands, which is different than when it used to be up in Stevens Point, because
right.
When it was a summer baseball tournament, it's still primarily Milwaukee area only teams, and nobody would make the drive. And so now that it is in the tournament is hosted in the Milwaukee area, and there are Milwaukee area teams playing every year, even Plymouth, for them, that's only going to be about a 30 or 40 minute drive.
Totally,
you know,
yep.
So that's not bad at all. I mean, that's almost the same for Oak Creek.
Yep.
You know, Oak Creek is probably going to have a half hour drive, I would think. And so for Plymouth to just to drive that 40 minutes is cool too. So it's just I'm really looking forward to Friday night. I'm going no matter who's in the final because all four teams are in the Time Warner Cable coverage area, which makes me ecstatic that I don't have to worry about a team that isn't in our area. So I'm really excited for that night. I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, and Capco, now you know the surface probably a little better than I do. That's completely artificial turf except for the pitcher's mound.
Yeah,
right?
Everything.
Turf. Even the warning track is
yes.
Turf.
It is interesting the first time you see it.
So when there's a pop-up, it comes down, and it kind of catapults back up like it's in a bounce house or something, right?
Sure. We'll call it a bounce house, sure. But the biggest thing is that, you know, especially with the spring weather and everything, not just this year, every year, with what spring can do to these fields and everything, to the normal fields, Capco is in perfect condition at all times. And that's something that I'm sure is a relief for these teams. I'm sure it's a little weird to start with. But whenever I've talked to coaches at the end of it, they can't rave enough about it. And again, especially the setting, just to have full stands on a summer night that's just right against Lake Michigan, it is truly, truly the perfect backdrop for a state baseball tournament.
Yeah, with the cliffs in the background and everything. And like you said, that's right around the time the sun is setting and that championship
perfect.
Game is going on. New Berlin West won last year. They kind of won a wild tournament. They were down against West Bend West in the final and came back to win. We've got new Milwaukee, actually four new teams this year. All four were not there last year, so we will have a new champion this time around. And I'm looking
cool.
forward to it as well. It'll be another interesting summer baseball. It's kind of anything really goes. You never really know who's going to win, so it's kind of fun to have that level of parity going on in the Milwaukee area.
Sweet.
Speaking of high school sports, I guess, since that's why we're here.
Best segue you have ever had.
I'm not proud of that one. But the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association All-Star Game took place in Oshkosh over the weekend. Lots of area kids playing football for the final time before they head off to college. And the South team from the Milwaukee area won both the small schools and the large schools game. But give me your impressions of it. I didn't go, but I know this is a really fun event.
Big shocker that the South won. Huge shocker.
Does that happen every year?
Every single year.
They should balance it differently then. Don't you think they can do an East? Well, no, if they did East West, they'd still have a problem.
Well, yeah.
They could do it any way they wanted, though, couldn't they? Schools that begin
they can.
With A through, you know, halfway through the alphabet.
Well, not necessarily because they still do need to practice.
Oh, that's true.
Throughout the week. So these guys practice. They actually move up into dorms. You know, like the South team goes to Whitewater on Sunday, and then the kids stay with each other, and they practice the whole week. And then if you're somebody like Billy Hirschfeld, who's on scholarship at Madison, you're doing two-a-days. Your mornings are spent in Madison. Your afternoons and evenings are spent in Whitewater.
What an interesting story he was.
Oh, my goodness.
The willingness to do that is one thing, but there were no other Badgers there. There is a
none.
Most kids that go to the big-time schools, they don't play in that game, probably because I would think the new coaches wouldn't want them to.
Yeah, George Panos from Arrowhead, who's going to Wisconsin, did not participate. Connor Sheehy from Marquette going to Wisconsin did not participate. There's one more.
Him. I wouldn't.
Oh my God, no! Jacob Maxwell from Greendale going to Madison did not participate, and then Craig Evans from Sun Prairie going to Michigan State did not participate as well. And those are just kind of the four biggest names. And yeah, I mean, if you're Mark D'Antonio, I mean, there isn't even a question. And I got to interview Craig Evans on the air during the broadcast, and he said that Coach D'Antonio said everything but no. It's like,
well,
you know, this isn't your best idea. You know, we're not in love with this idea.
Right.
So.
Interesting that, because like you said, it's not just getting back for the game. You've got to go to all the practices during the week.
For
so
sure.
Like you said, it's 2 days all week long, and it's not like your first practice with Wisconsin is going to be, you know, some little walkthrough. That's going to
no.
be pretty demanding stuff.
Yeah. So they can't really split it up any other way than what they're doing now. We were joking, especially since the balance of power is so clearly in the South, and it's purely a joke, but what if you made it just like Milwaukee versus the rest of the state?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It's a little bit of a joke, and it's extremely arrogant on our part.
It is. We are arrogant people.
But also, look at the results. I mean, look at where the talent is. Look at the scholarships available.
Sure.
And where they're being handed out to.
Yeah.
You know, the North, like Green Bay right now has some good players, and like James Morgan will be a quarterback at Ashwaubenon this year. He's going to be incredible. They've had some good players up there. Obviously, Matt Ferris with Appleton Xavier set state records for everything. So
now, he played in the game, right?
He did.
He's playing for the Wisconsin basketball team.
Correct. So he's walking on, which I imagine, you know, he probably doesn't need to move up yet. Football players move in the first week of June. Basketball players, I assume, don't have to be there.
Right.
He played. Sean McGuire played from Franklin. He's heading to Western Illinois. He looks like a beast.
We thought during the high school season. We were talking about this forever.
I mean, just physically, though.
Yeah, he's a tall dude. He's a big dude.
He looks like a legitimate. He looks like a professional quarterback now. He has toned his body perfectly. So he looked great. Had a great game. Drew Patterson from Sussex Hamilton had a phenomenal game. It was only, if the stats were right, it was only 8 carries for 48 yards. But the way that he just lowered his pads and just obliterated the North defenders, he looked good. Let's just say that.
2 touchdowns for Patterson. And the storyline there is that he and McGuire are both going to Western Illinois. And I think we both have felt at points that those guys could have maybe gone to even a bigger school. And whether it was their own interest or this other school's interest, but those guys should have a really good career at Western.
Yeah, safe to say. Same with Mitchell Breeze from Greendale going to Illinois State.
Right, I mean, that kid...
That kid deserves to be somewhere very, very big,
yeah.
And he's not, which is a shame, but that's the thing. You just hope that these guys either, A, love where they're at and end up being happy. You know, you don't need to go to a big school to have a fantastic career, but, B, say that they do have an amazing freshman, sophomore year. Maybe they can transfer somewhere big. But if they stay, for Mitchell Breeze, look at Ben Erickson. He was a Greendale product, I believe, went to Illinois State as well.
Yeah.
And then ended up making the Packers training camp, I believe. Practice squad. I think he made it to training camp. I think maybe found some health issues. But it's a really, really cool event. Trust me, Time Warner Cable is replaying it 20 different times throughout the week. I'm sure it'll be on demand, so you guys can catch it out on the air. But it's just a really cool event, and that's why I'm so happy that somebody like Billy Hirschfeld did it, is because the way that these kids become friends is something that we as adults kind of see as a no-brainer. But when you see – who did I talk to? Who was that? I think it was Sean McGuire from Franklin. And he pulled up his helmet, his Franklin helmet, and there's a big Greendale sticker on it.
Oh, nice.
And to see those two kids getting along – is just pretty incredible. Now, Arrowhead and Homestead were in different teams this year. Homestead, Cedarburg, and Germantown were all part of the North squad. Normally, they're on the South squad. But if you go back to one of our earlier guests, Jeff Budzine, when he was playing in 2008 or 2009, whatever it was, him and Shelby Harris from Homestead became really good friends throughout this week. So it's something that's a really cool experience, and these guys get to be friends with people they would never think about. I mean, Franklin, Oak Creek, and Greendale hate each other. You know, like the combination of those three. But they become friends during the week, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah. I have Western Illinois is in Macomb, Illinois, which is in the middle of nowhere, by the way.
Nice.
And I have a very fun – well, it wasn't a fun story. Driving back from Valparaiso in college through an ice storm, basically a four-hour trip, me about to freak out at like 2 in the morning. We went to cover some women's basketball there. It's not a bad campus. It's in the middle of nowhere, but they have good facilities, and they have some tradition with their football program. They've had a lot of success.
The Leathernecks, am I right?
The Leathernecks, yeah. For a while, the women's teams were called the Westerwinds. It was men's were the Leathernecks, women's were the Westerwinds. I believe they've combined them all under the Leathernecks name now. So that was an interesting little tidbit about there.
So it was cool. The South won again. They always do. The North won the small schools game for the first time last year.
Oh, okay.
They've only had it for about 6 years. It used to be just one game. Now they split it into two to give more kids opportunities to participate, of course. So the North finally won last year, but this year, 33-13, I think the first game was. The larger game was 24-8. We were talking with people how we kind of didn't like saying small schools. We all know that they're the smaller schools because they're split up into divisions 4 through 7 and then 1 through 3. So maybe that's where your idea comes in of, say, for the small schools game, maybe you split it east-west. That way you don't need to call it the small school game. You can say it's east versus west and then north versus south. So maybe that's one way to get around it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me, putting them all together,
The west team meets probably in Eau Claire or something like that, or maybe in, I don't know, maybe Wisconsin Rapids? Wisconsin Dells. I like that.
All right, yeah, then they could go.
Because that way the Madison kids can, you know, take that half-hour drive.
Right.
Everybody from southwest Wisconsin and Platteville can go up there. Then the East kids meet in probably Oshkosh, I think.
I suppose all of this assumes that it really matters who wins these games.
Also
that's
true.
Not really what it's about, I suppose. Yeah. But a good event that we run into every year. It's nice to see those kids play one last game before they move on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, so we get so that's done now. The baseball All-Star game is done.
That's
basketball
right.
All-Star game is done.
All
we have left is summer baseball on Friday night, and then it is officially
football
next season. My
that's
goodness.
Right.
Packers training camp starts on Saturday. and then high school football practice in a week and a half.
I know. It's a crazy thing. But we're not out of the baseball wilderness yet. The All-Star Game was in Minneapolis this year. J.P. Cadoran was on hand with his camera for Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
No, I was just hanging out.
You were just hanging out. Yep. Talking to people, roaming around.
Yep, just had work pay for me.
That's a good situation to have. So give me a sense behind the curtain what they have going on there. It looks like, and I think you've already alluded to it, a throng of media, and it's a big, big mess. But, I mean, what were the highlights? Tell me.
The Asian media contingent is enormous.
They are enormous.
It's relentless. They're just everywhere, and most of them are on assignments where they just follow players. You know, their job is to follow Koji Uehara the entire trip. Which was kind of weird to see.
And they do that during the regular season, too.
Oh, yeah.
There might be a player that you don't even think of is a second baseman or a backup bench guy that will get his own media contingent based on where he's from.
Yeah, so I think that was, like, the first impression that struck me was, holy crap, there are Asian media everywhere. The second thing, well, the main story was Derek Jeter for everything. And I don't feel too strongly one way or the other on him, so I don't particularly mind. But that was just kind of everywhere, and everybody, you know, they have their media availabilities. They do the NL at one point, the AL, you know, like an hour later, and every player got questions about Derek Jeter, AL and NL. And I just have to imagine how annoying that is, especially if you're in the AL because you face them so many different times and all that stuff. So
yeah, it got a little rich for me when Mike Trout won the MVP, and the two questions right away were about his interactions with Derek Jeter. Now, I totally understand. This whole thing was a monument to the guy, but at some point, come on, there are other people there too.
Yeah.
That's just the way it works.
So that got a bit out of control. For me, then the third thing that sticks out is just purely selfish of just seeing all the other, I don't want to say celebrities, but while we were in the stands for the game on Tuesday night, my favorite band in the world, who I've seen 22 different times, was sitting about seven rows in front of me.
Really? What band is that?
That is OAR, of a Revolution.
Good. Very good.
Turns out they had played like a fan fest at like 4 in the afternoon, and they were sitting seven rows in front of me. So I could go interview Derek Jeter all day, not care at all, but when I saw those guys sitting in front of me, I felt like a little schoolgirl.
That's cool. Now, that's the band that could turn the car around, right? That's one of their
songs.
I don't know.
Not the name of it, and not their best song, and you're killing me a little bit inside.
That's the one that became popular. Right? And they've got a crazy game of poker or something.
There you go. I'll take that. That's acceptable. But him, Joe Nichols, Idina Menzel, or Adele Dazeem, is that the...
John Travolta.
Oh, my God. Or wickedly talented.
Yeah, she sang the national anthem, I believe.
Yeah, and something else, which I couldn't hear because I was downstairs in the dungeon trying to send my show back, and it was failing. So,
So who gave you the best interview? I assume you primarily spoke to the Brewers players.
Little bit. And that's Luke Roy, obviously. I mean, he's the best. He's the best. I was talking to my wife about it last night, how he might be, you know, mentioned for an MVP candidacy and all that stuff. And even she knew who he was, which is, trust me, that is really saying something.
Right.
But he's the best. He gives you the most thoughtful answers, especially when compared to Aramis Ramirez, K-Rod, and Gomez.
Right.
But he was the best. But part of going to the All-Star Game is to get access to things that you normally don't get access to. If we just wanted to hear from the four Brewers All-Stars, we would just talk to them on the day before they leave, the day after they get back. So other than that, I'm trying to think who I talked to that was kind of the most engaging. I would think there were a couple players from the Royals that were pretty good. Actually, Scott Kazmir from the A's was really good. Freddie Freeman from the Braves was pretty engaging. And then maybe Todd Frazier from Cincy.
Yeah, Kazmir and the A's, they're probably the biggest story in baseball.
Oh my God,
right now.
They had seven All-Stars there.
And they've won 62 games. They're crazy.
So that was one of the stories that we did. Again, the point of going was to kind of do stories that we can't do at Miller Park. So one of the stories was, how in the world are Oakland and Milwaukee in first place? You know, two teams that Oakland isn't a small market by any means, but they're not a traditional name when you think of who should be winning. So, so we did stories like that. So it was fun, man.
Would you do it again?
I would. I would make sure that all of our computers work before I go up. Because
you gotta test your equipment, man.
I swear to God, I took 5 years off my life on that trip.
That's
too bad. Not to mention the amount of walking with a camera and tripod and laptop and all my gear that I had to do. Right. So.
So it was a workout. Well, it came through seamlessly. I was watching some of the coverage. It looked good, man.
Thanks, buddy. It was fun.
So what else do you got? Is it just still All-Star Fallout on Time Warner Cable this week?
No. I mean, you look at next week's show. I mean, there's almost no work that needs to be done because Packers training camp starts Saturday.
That's
Big
true.
Ten Media Days are Monday.
Dang.
I mean, that fills an hour
there.
Forget
we're here to the Packers season.
Forget a half-hour show.
Yeah.
We could fill an hour with all that stuff. So
yeah.
I'll be at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago on Monday because apparently I can't get enough of traveling for work.
Where's that in Chicago?
In Chicago,
all right,
downtown at the Hilton.
Worst so places to go visit.
$75 to park for 8 hours.
But company dime?
Of course,
all
yeah.
Right, there you go.
Of course. So that's on Monday all day.
All right.
And that's where you get just the world's worst questions in the world repeated over and over. You want to talk about good, engaging interviews at the All-Star Game? These interviews at Big Ten Media Day are the worst.
Really?
Well,
it's all coaches and a couple players, right?
Yeah, each school brings three players, and it's the same canned answer every time,
right.
And you dig into every fiber of your reporting muscle
right.
to get some answers out of these kids, and you just can't.
Also talked to Greg Gar, the recruiting coordinator for the,
Woo!
Speaking of the Wisconsin Badgers, Ben's basketball team, asking
Woo!
Him a little bit about the nature of the verbal commitment, which
nice.
Which is pretty much what you'd expect. It's super tenuous, and the younger kids commit, the less likely that is to follow through. But there have been certainly some cases in the Lake Country area, recent past, where kids have changed or the school has decided to go in another direction. So wanted to talk to him a little bit about that. And, of course, coverage from the state baseball circuit. Lots of teams from our area were in the sectional. And now newspapers, of course, we cover Oak Creek, Homestead, and Brookfield Central. So lots of coverage on them as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll cover Plymouth for you. Anybody
Sounds
wants
good.
A Plymouth recap, let me know.
All right. Excellent. JP Kedorin is your source for the Plymouth baseball team.
Absolutely. Cool.
Thanks for checking in with us again. Hope you enjoy the summer days, the summer weather. Stay cool, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Bye, friends.